Welcome to the Botcast, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The Botcast is an Entrepreneur's Circle production, exclusively for EC members.
Well, hey, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, even. Those of you driving at night time, listening to the Botcast, welcome. It is the Summer Botcast. It's August, and because it is summertime, and the sun has been shining a bit, we are kind of mixing it up a little bit today on the Botcast. Now, I will tell you what we've got planned, providing you promise not to turn me off, because this is a little bit of a different podcast, and I promise you, you're going to find it interesting and hopefully a little bit entertaining, even though we're going to talk, first of all, drum roll please, about insurance. Yes, insurance. But you're glad you put this CD in the car now, aren't you? With me this week, and I've got long-standing EC. I've been part of EC now for 2.5 years, nearly. Yeah, he nodded. Nodding doesn't work when you're on the podcast.
Yes, 2.5 years. It's Paul Gadsby, by the way.
I was going to introduce you, and it is indeed. It's Paul Gadsby, by the way. That sort of well-known double-barrel surname. Paul is Paul's an insurance broker, but we mustn't hold that against him, because I have had the good fortune to spend quite a bit of time with Paul over the last 12 months in particular, since he became part of one of my mastermind groups. And what's been really interesting, and those of you that know him will understand what I mean by this, because in an absolutely non-kind of salesy way, over the course of a number of months, he shared with not just me but with the group in kind of different ways a whole host of kind of stories and incidents and anecdotes that each of them kind of highlight the kind of inadequacies and pain and financial discomfort that's caused when people have got their insurance wrong. And we got Paul on stage at the national event in the beginning of July, the one at the NEC, and I talked there about Paul had a questionnaire, like a little survey, didn't you?
We did indeed
at that event, which a couple of hundred members filled out, and because we had the very embarrassing draw for the iPad.
Yes, it didn't exactly go smoothly, should we say.
For those of you that weren't there, we had a big bag full of all these surveys that people had filled out, and the deal was that then we'd do a draw at the end of the day, 3:30 or whatever it was, and whoever we pulled out would win the iPad. That was a good plan, wasn't it?
It was a good plan, apart from Danielle and I discussed this whilst you were preparing things. He said, what happens if I draw it out?
So Danielle popped on stage at the time, and I said, Danielle, just before you go, can you help us out here? Can you draw the winner of the iPad? And she stuck her hand in this bag, and there were a couple of hundred forms in there, and she pulled out her own form, which was excruciatingly embarrassing for me. So I felt I need to put it back straight away. And then we drew out the actual winner. Can you remember the name of the winner? I can't remember the guy's name now who won it.
Graham Moody.
Graham, it was, that's right, Graham Moody. And so Graham won the iPad, and Danielle unfortunately had to go without.
Ah, that's not quite true. Hopefully by the time the podcast goes out, Danielle will have received one, because I had several people saying that wasn't fair, so I spoke to James and sent her one.
Okay, what should have happened there? You see, she or you should have been insured against her drawing herself out.
Ah, now, we do things like roll of dice and hole in one golf
cover. Oh, do you?
Cover.
How does that work then? So
but I never thought we'd need one for a prize draw.
So when you do, so if you have like a golf day, and you have like the hole in one winner car.
If you have a hole in one winner car, they're not actually forking out a car. They've bought an insurance policy.
And how
all depends on the difficulty of the hole and the capabilities of the audience.
Okay.
How much the insurers charge for it.
Okay, so give us a ballpark figure.
It's a while since I did one, but I'd probably say about £400.
Is that all?
For sort of a 10 grand car.
Yeah.
It's a good little way of doing it.
Do you do what's the you must have some interesting things that you insure then. So, did you say roll of the dice insurance?
Yes.
Really? What's that?
Yeah.
How can you use sugar to roll up a dice? That's ridiculous.
Throwing so many sixes on an occurrence to give a prize. So,
okay.
But the hole in one golf's the main one. And years ago we used to do event policies where we used to do pluvius. So we'd
pluvius.
Yeah, if you were arranging an event and it was a washout.
We used to
have to issue these test tubes for them to measure the rainfall.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because like things like presumably a lot of sporting events will have insurance for weather. I presume
that's right.
Yeah. So they have to.
Yeah, we've not got involved in those for a long while, but they still do them. Yes.
And I wonder, will then? I don't expect you to know this, but we'll just hypothecate. So like when England, because England have started winning test matches at home in like 3 days. Which I think must be really bad for business. Like it's great for cricket, but it must be bad for business because they've sold all these tickets for like a fourth and fifth day, and they're having to give their money back. Could they be insured?
Yeah, you can insure anything.
You can insure anything. The England cricket team playing really well.
Not sure as the premium would be much on that.
we're playing really well. This has been a really good summer, and in fact, a really good 12 months for the England cricket team. So. Paul, you started as you're an insurance broker.
Indeed.
You own the company. It's got a really catchy name, your business, hasn't it?
Independent Insurance Bureau, which came about because the business started as Ibstock Insurance Bureau. And when we started acquiring other brokers, I'd got private number plates, which were IIB. So it's as simple as that. IIB.
So the name of your business is derived from the number plate that you actually had.
But latterly, we wanted to get independent in there because it describes what we are. We work on behalf of the client. We don't represent an insurer.
Okay.
We are independent.
Okay, I get that. So you're a broker business, so presumably you have access to kind of whole of market.
We do.
You can go anywhere. Yeah. And you're based in Leicestershire, but that doesn't matter. You have clients all over the country.
We do.
And
we do.
You've got four...
So we've got three offices.
Three, sorry.
Yep. All in Leicestershire. And we have shop fronts that invite people in to sit and talk to us about their personal requirements.
Okay.
But on a commercial basis...
Is that just insurance or do you do other services?
No, they're extras. No, on the commercial side, we like to get to know about the business and then we go out and find the right market for them.
Okay, so let's look at... Because some of the stuff that I've discovered since I've got to know you a little bit here. So, first of all... some of the common challenges that you saw from those questionnaires that we got at the national event, there were one or two patterns started to emerge from there, weren't there? So, because we've got quite a lot of people in EC, for instance, who work from home.
We have indeed.
So, how from an insurance perspective, how does that work?
We have two different approaches to that. We've got home insurers who have recognised that more people are working from home.
Yeah.
And they'll actually include a limit for business equipment, such as computers and things.
Okay.
Say £5,000. And they've built it into the policy. So if you're not having people visit you at home and you're just working from home, we can do it that way.
Okay.
But if it's more of a home office where you've got people coming in or you're actually even producing something, we'd arrange two separate policies.
Okay. So so again, and this is I think one of the things I suspect we talk a bit more about, because it is really important that your insurer knows everything, isn't it?
Oh, definitely.
Because if they don't know things, then when you need to put a claim
insurance
in.
Gets itself a bad name, and it's not, and the industry is not very good at promoting itself for the good it does, and a lot of the issues that it gets bad press for are where people haven't explained exactly what they're doing. So the example you used on stage was a kitchen fitter installed a bathroom suite,
yes,
and the glass shower screen fell on someone and injured them, and a claim was put forward, and it was declined on the basis that he hadn't told them that he was doing that sort of work.
That he was
insured as a kitchen fitter.
And you wouldn't find a shower screen in a kitchen, and therefore they didn't cover it.
No, but the truth be known, if more and more people are doing different types of jobs, if they explain fully what they're doing, they'd include them. Probably not even at an extra charge.
So, okay, so right, so it's not about, this is not a cost thing, but it is about a kind of openness thing.
It is a cost because they'll rate on the highest sort of exposure.
Right, okay.
But they can incorporate more than one.
Okay, trade. So what if people, right, so that's the point. So if people have got more than one business, especially they're doing things themselves, they're doing more than one type of business, what should they do?
Well, that became very apparent from a lot of the questionnaires that were submitted, because you could tell just from the name of the business and the website address and their email address that they differed, and they were obviously offering different services.
Okay.
So it's just a question of making sure that if they're different entities, as in different trading entities, that they're the insurers know about them, and if they're in different trades or associated trades, they know fully what they're doing.
Okay. And as far as different types of insurance that we ought to have as business owners, so are there any legal requirements?
There are only three legal requirements, and that is, if you've got employees, you need employer's liability cover.
Right.
If you use a motor vehicle, you've got to have third party cover to have you on the road. And then there's engineering cover, which is if you've got any plant that operates under pressure or lifting, it has to have inspection insurance.
Okay.
So the public liability, yes, is not actually a legal requirement.
Okay. So what is, explain to me then in layman's terms, because so public liability, I'm assuming that is an insurance that covers me if anything I do in the course of my business does any damage or harm to property or people that are the public?
It's physical damage or injury to a third party's property or person. And the other area we have a confusion is professional indemnity. People confuse the two.
Right.
So public liability is something physical, whereas professional indemnity is where you've given either the wrong advice or failed, yes, to do something that you're supposed to do. And insurance is an example. If you rang me to say, I've changed my car and I didn't change it on your policy and you had an accident,
that's then your fault.
It's our fault because it's an omission on our part.
Yes. Okay, so professional indemnity. So what sort of industries or businesses or trade should have that kind of cover?
Anybody who's giving advice or design, if you're designing plans and you get the measurements wrong, for example, yes, which we've had on a window fitter case, they'd done some commercial property windows and they were wrong, and it was a really expensive claim. Yeah, so, it's errors and omissions is what we'd also call it.
Okay, so I promised that this would be an entertaining podcast, and obviously we're stuck here with the dry topic of insurance. We've talked about professional indemnity cover and public liability. So I think at this moment in time, I don't believe I am insured, should any of my listeners actually fall asleep at the wheel and crash their car whilst listening to the podcast. So we need to spark it up a little bit then now.
Well, I've not actually bought my Jasper Carrot tape, so he's the obvious one for
reference to
funny claims.
You just go on, just remind us on that. That's true, isn't it?
I think the one that sticks out for me is the person who went into their drive and ran into the tree that they hadn't got because they'd gone into the wrong drive.
Yes, I do remember.
I think the oldest one we had was, do you remember the old Ford Zephyrs had bench seats?
Yes, I do, yeah, across the theatre, I do, yeah.
A guy had actually slid out of his car because his passenger seat had come open. And his wife had pledged the seat.
So
he slid out the other end and it went through a canal bridge. Many, many years ago. So I don't know if there's many Zephyrs about still.
Okay. I do remember there's a time when a little village I lived in, and on a Sunday morning I was walking up to church, actually. Not a regular occurrence these days, but it was then. And there was a car embedded in this house. And the car had obviously come around the corner way too fast, and the house was fairly close to the road, but it had come across the pavement, and as it hit the pavement, obviously gone a bit airborne, and this car, it was a Latter-day Escort, was the car, and it was stuck with its kind of back end in the air out of this lounge window. So it was quite a sight of it to see. And there was an old boy lived next door, and he was stood outside on a little look at this as I walked past. I said, goodness me. I said, what on earth happened here? He said, oh, he says, bloke, says, we're only doing 30. He says, God knows what speed house we're going. which I guess that must be quite a fun place to work. In insurance claims, that's not what you do. You're about helping us to get things protected properly. And you asked a question on your form about, do the same people look after your personal insurance as your business insurance?
So yes, that was quite an interesting one. Most people used a broker to arrange their commercial insurance, or they've done it themselves, but they're not actually using the same people to look after the personal insurance. Now, most insurance brokers have specialised in one or the other. We actually still do both. And our forte is really to look after a business owner's interests in its entirety. And particularly with EC members, they obviously should recognise the time saving,
yes,
of only having one port of call, and also the fact that if any insurance issue, you've got one point of contact, and hopefully avoiding any gaps in cover.
So I know Kate Lester talks very highly of your services.
I believe she does, yes.
So, well, she says that you understand their business.
We do, and it's a complex one, a very well-run business, which insurers, as soon as you mention couriers, run a mile. But the fact that we can say that Kate runs the business well, we get really good deals for her.
Okay.
So that's the key to commercial business. It's us getting across to insurers that it's a well-run business, well-managed business. And if you're taking time and effort with health and safety and, yes, organising your business properly, you should pay lower rates.
Okay. So how do you go about this then? So there's 2 points here. One is how, you know, because lots of people have their insurance in all sorts of different ways. Some people have an insurance broker of their own. And it's a bit like accountancy in that regard, because not all insurance brokers are the same, as, again, I've discovered over the last couple of years. And then you've got people doing it themselves, and there's differentiation between what makes a good insurance broker and what makes an average insurance broker. Comes down, I think, certainly from my experience, to the extent to which they get to know and properly understand the business.
You'll get insurance salespeople and you'll get insurance advisors, and we'd like to think we're insurance advisors. We're after finding out about your business, making sure you're fully covered, and building a long-term relationship. We don't want to put business on the books and it moves straight away. We want to build long-standing relationships. And we've got people insured with us who were with us when we started, back in 1989.
So you would have a conversation with somebody. Is that how it starts? You go out and see people.
Both.
Okay.
Both. We'd have a conversation with people to find out a bit about them first of all.
Yeah.
Because we'd like to go along thinking we have narrowed down the markets that are going to be available to them, because we like to work with our insurers and pick the right risks, because we don't want to be moving it around every year. Building a relationship with an insurer for your commercial business is actually worth doing.
Okay. I mean, I guess you would say that, wouldn't you? Because you're an insurance broker. But what's the benefit
no,
there?
No, because we do actually rebroke the business every year to make sure you're not being, you're not having your rates hiked.
Okay.
But we have got relationships with our insurers where we'd go back and say, look, we found a better...
Yes.
Quote, would you like to match it and try and build a development? So we sort of, we don't allow them to put the premiums up by broking it round and finding a better price.
Okay.
And some, just while I'm mentioning broking, some people don't understand that going out and asking 12 different brokers to get you a quote is not getting you the best price. It has the reverse effect.
Tell me why.
Because if you imagine if you're an insurance underwriter and you see the same presentation from half a dozen different brokers, you'll know that it's going around the market and you'll think, well, I'm not going to pick this up, so you'll no quote it. Whereas if you get a presentation from a broker that they've got a relationship with,
yes,
and they've got an intention of placing the business, they'll put some time and effort in putting a rate on it.
Okay.
So
okay.
So just asking somebody to fax it round, or I said fax then. I don't think we've ever used that for a long while.
It's because she started in 1989. Yeah.
So making multiple presentations, particularly on bigger risks for fleets of vehicles and things like that, and more complex risks, it tends to have the reverse effect.
Okay. Now, different insurers have different views on different things, don't they? Different requirements.
Yes, the biggest issue we have with insurance is people will ask a question, and I would never give an answer without saying, well, who are you insured with? Because their own policy terms and conditions are different to somebody else's. This even comes down to your own car insurance.
Right.
The number of people who say, oh, I'm covered to drive other cars,
right,
just because they've got comprehensive insurance, it's not correct.
Really?
No, it depends on which insurer you're with. Some insurers give driving other cars, others don't, or depending on your occupation. So say you're in the motor trade,
yes,
insurers wouldn't give it to people that are in the motor trade, because they don't want to cover them driving in customers' cars, for example.
Okay, okay. So,
and also, while we're on the driving other cars, that's one of the biggest issues we have, is that people think they're covered to drive anything, but don't realise that it's only third party.
Yes.
And we did have a story along those lines.
Oh, is this the Lexus one?
Yeah, we did have a client with a Lexus many years ago, when they first came out with the phone controls in the steering wheel.
Right.
Took it back to have it a fault sorted, and they lent a car, and he said, I'm covered to drive it, so he signed.
The garage lent him
him a courtesy vehicle. He signed to say, I'm covered to drive it, went off to a meeting, came out, and the vehicle had been stolen. So, yes, he was covered to drive it, but no, it wasn't covered for theft.
So what happened?
The garage refused to bail him out because he'd signed for it, so he wasn't covered.
So he had to end up paying for a 60 grand car that he hadn't got?
Indeed.
Ouch. Ooh, dear. Okay, so we mentioned the kitchen fitter and the shower screen, and we mentioned the driving there and not when you're not covered. Any other kind of typical, usual kind of potholes that are waiting to catch the unsuspected business owner?
One of the bigger potholes are getting your sums insured right.
Okay.
So it's okay arranging cover, but if you don't spend the time to work out if you've insured it for the right amounts,
so
that can cause issues.
So let's just say, for instance, so say my contents then in my office or in my home, let's say that they're really, it's going to cost me $100,000 to replace them, say. Yeah.
Yep.
But if I only insure them for $50,000 and then I had a fire.
Policies carry what they call average. So you'd only be paid for half of the claim.
That's what I mean, yeah.
And the biggest
because I'd insured for $50,000.
The biggest issue on that is when people are talking about insuring buildings. A lot of people insure it for the sale value. Where it's the rebuild cost.
Yes.
We came across a client recently where for the last 20 years they'd insured the rateable value, which has nothing to do with the rebuild cost of it. And we do have a couple of insurers now have actually come forward and said that they'll get rid of the average clause, so that if you had underinsured it, they would charge the difference in premium.
Okay.
Now that's not to say if you've intentionally underinsured it to keep your premium down.
Is the market, it seems, as a consumer who spends as little time as he possibly can thinking or buying or shopping for insurance, it's just one of those things I've got to do. But I do sense that the insurance companies are they're moving a bit closer to, like you just said there, for instance, doing the right things. And I mean, a lot of car policies now, for instance, do include a courtesy car, whereas they didn't used to.
We're getting to the realms of, like I said, it's got a bad name in the past where they decline claims for in associated reasons.
Yeah.
So say you'd had a flood claim and you'd not got a five lever lock. Obviously, it's got nothing to do with the flood.
Yes, it wouldn't have cut the water out.
But in terms of the actual writing of the policy, they could technically say you've not got a five lever lock, so we're not paying the claim. That's being done away with. And particularly, I mentioned about high net worth home insurance. If you spend all the time showing what you want to insure and producing valuations,
yes,
if anything happens, all the work's been done up front, so they just settle the claim.
So, and is that the sort of work that you would do?
Yes.
So,
And all I say is, if you do use a professional advisor and explain to them everything you want covering and everything that you do, you're not going to have issues when you have a claim.
Okay.
That was one of the things from the questionnaire. The people who do it themselves, if they have made a mistake and not got the cover right,
nowhere to go.
Whereas if they've explained it to us, we carry the can and it'll be our fault.
So you earn your money at your as a business from commissions from the insurance company, is that right?
We either have a commission from the insurer or we agree a fee for handling the case for the client. We can work on both ways.
Okay, so what situations would a client pay a fee then?
On a larger case where it's a well-run risk and they're not having lots of claims, it'd be unfair for us to take a commission on the whole premium.
Okay.
When we equate it to the amount of work involved.
Okay.
Whereas using your 80-20, we have some smaller premium cases that causes a lot of work.
Okay. So yeah, I'm sure. Well, that's the case for all business, isn't it? It's often the little customers that actually can give us the most bother. But you look after all sorts of businesses, not just big ones, not just little ones.
Yeah, we do everything from single trip travel policies that cost about £8 up to £200,000 fleets and everything in between.
Wow, okay. So that must be one of the biggest ranges of sales price.
It is, which is with my EC hat on, is where I struggle with the...
What's your average customer? Yeah, wowee. That is, although again, there will be a mathematical average, won't there? It will be there to be to.
Well, to go back to the £8 travel policy, people think that travel is just a simple policy, and you can pick it up off the shelf in the post office or supermarket or wherever. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most difficult things we deal with.
Why?
People with medical conditions.
Uh huh.
Where people are travelling to.
What, like?
Because not all countries are classed as Europe, even though they are Europe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sort of. Okay. Turkey.
That'll be us soon.
Yeah, Turkey and the UK.
Yes.
And also if they're doing any sort of work while they're away.
Oh,
so
okay.
It can, and what people don't realise on the travel policy as well is the limits for possessions are very small, and they're not new for old. It's on an indemnity basis, which means if you lose something that's 10 years old, you get paid for something that's 10 years old.
Oh, really?
It's a minefield.
Okay. So should your home contents cover actually provide you with a level of cover for...
If you've got the right policy with personal possessions on your home insurance, you exclude the baggage from your travel insurance because you've got better cover on your home insurance.
But you have to formally exclude it, do you?
Yes.
Otherwise, your home insurance, well, you've got travel insurance. And
well,
they should pay
the other
first.
Thing is, the first thing you do if you have a travel insurance claim is that on the claim form that, or telephone interview for a claim, that they'll say, who's your home insurance with? Because obviously you can't be covered for things twice.
Yeah, well, okay, well, I bet people are, aren't they?
Yes.
So, okay. So, and if you need to make a claim, if you're on any kind of policy... Does an insurance broker help with that?
We do indeed, and that's one of the things, at least when you have a claim, you've got somebody else to speak to ask for advice and assistance, and if things don't go as smoothly as they should, we're there to sort it out for you.
Okay. So, I mean, we haven't perhaps titillated and entertained as quite as much as I perhaps hoped that we might on this particular broadcast, but we have covered... What is fundamental? It's a really important thing. This because there are, particularly for business owners, because we are all exposed to risk. Managing risk is a really important part of any kind of sustainable success. And the truth of it is, with the insurance, if you do it properly, the cost of the insurance is relatively relatively tiny compared to given the benefit it gives and the reassurance it gives.
Exactly. If you go back to the fact that it's not all insurances are legal requirements, it's actually a business planning mechanism to say, right, instead of being able to cope if I have a fire, I'll pay a known premium every year and mitigate your loss.
Yeah. So, look, because I suspect it's also an area that particularly EC members, because what we all like, you see, Paul, and I mean, you know this now, but we don't like all this kind of, all this risk. It's all, insurance is dry and dull. We like all the sexy stuff. We want to be doing the marketing and bringing in the customers and getting the messages out there and spreading the word and all this kind of business and personal and professional indemnity, and it leaves us cold. It absolutely leaves us cold. And, you know, it's always going to be, I think, sort of an uphill battle, but just because we all know we need to do it, but getting around to it is and doing it properly is a challenge. So if people want a bit of help, you'd be happy to talk to them, I guess?
I'd love to make sure that people are covered properly, whether they do it with us or they do it elsewhere, that's fine. I'm here to give them a second opinion.
Okay, and how can they go about that?
They can either contact us on email, which is paul.gadsby@iibinsurance.co.uk. Okay,
so paul.gadsby, as in the great Gadsby.
G-A-D-S-B-Y.
Okay, paul.gadsby. He's checking now, just make sure he's on an email address. At IIB, IIB Insurance. There's a lot of I's in there. IIB Insurance. .co.uk. That's probably the best way to get to Paul.
Or they could use our wonderful tracking number from Invoco,
which is 01530 215068. That's 01530 215068 for the great Gadsby. Paul, any final words on this? You want to just give us, share your wisdom, because I, you know, with the greatest respect, I'm pretty sure, you know, it's going to be a long time before you're on a podcast again, Paul. I mean, it's going to be a long while till insurance comes round again here.
you've put me on the spot now.
He's walked out. I've been too rude to him. I didn't mean to be rude. I'm sorry.
No, like you say, with the marketing angle of insurance, it's you've always said we're the least sexy, which makes me feel really honoured to be on the podcast today, and I genuinely just want to help people make sure that if they are spending any money on insurance, that it's at least going to work.
Yeah. And there are there are lots of people within EC, within Mastermind, and indeed some of the bigger businesses in EC, some of the well-known names, who are Paul's clients, and he's a trusted supplier, and so you can talk with him with absolute confidence. And what I find most useful, really, and enlightening was he does spend time to get to know your business, and as a result of that, then helps to shape, well, you don't need that, but you do need this, and you should have that. And that level of openness and honesty is, I found, very refreshing. Paul, thank you for coming on this afternoon.
A pleasure.
I'm sorry to the listeners for the little mobile phone interference. I'm not sure where that's kept coming from, because we've been tracking it out. I've obviously got a bug in my office somewhere that's causing this. But Paul, you've been great. Thank you for talking insurance and making it just a tiny little bit sexy. We're talking kind of Winciette, Nora Batty, wrinkle stocking sexy. But you've been great. Thanks for coming. And we may not see you on a podcast very soon, we'll certainly see you around the EC. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the podcast from the Entrepreneur's Circle, featuring Nigel Bottrell. The podcast is copyright Entrepreneur's Circle 2015.